is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio, and happy Easter. I'm Rita Bittner. Today we are speaking with two people in the Archdiocese of Baltimore who were welcomed into full communion with the Catholic Church this Easter, and they aren't alone. Last night at Easter Vigil Masses across the Archdiocese, more than 1,280 catechumens and candidates were to be welcomed into full communion. You might be wondering the difference. A catechumen is someone who's unbaptized and is preparing for all the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. And a candidate is someone who is baptized but has not received communion and or confirmation. We'll hear first from Laura Montgomery, who came into the church with her husband, Tim, and two of their daughters at the Easter Vigil last night. They are parishioners of St. Joseph in Fullerton. Laura, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Laura, would you start by sharing just a little bit about your own faith background and your family's and how you made this decision to become Catholic?
Sure. So my husband and I were both raised Baptist at two different churches. We went for a couple of years when I was younger, but prayed together as a family, and God was always at the center of our family. And then Tim was definitely more involved at his church. He went through a different Baptist church throughout his teenage years, even going on like a missionary trip to Mexico. He was very involved. His mom thought he would go into ministry. And then he turned 18 and didn't have to go anymore. And went off, I guess, with the other kids, the other, you know, in the culture or whatever. So he, and then we met a few years later. We were engaged, married, and then had children. We didn't raise them in a church, but we raised them in the faith. So they knew they had a foundation of faith that we thought at the time was sufficient. In retrospect, we would have gone to church weekly and been involved in that sooner. But during the pandemic, our older girls started to attend a non-denominational church that was one of the few churches that had a youth group.
Oh, awesome.
So they were able to do that weekly. They had some friends. They were eventually baptized there. And then our middle daughter, Macy, asked if we could start going together on Sundays as a family. Aww. So we started to do that. And we loved it. It was really nice. It felt very grounding to go every week as a family. We were making friends there. We started to volunteer there. Macy was serving in the children's ministry there. Mm-hmm. And then we just felt a shift. We started to notice that, you know, some of the churches were going with kind of the cultural ebb and flow. Mm. And we were looking for something that was more grounded in love, but in truth. Yeah. And so, you know, Macy started feeling a little bit unfulfilled, I would say. Like there was just, she felt like she had reached the full depth of where we were. So she was looking for more depth and she started thinking, is this all there is? Is this as deep as I'll ever get? Is this as close to God as I'll ever feel? So she started to ask if we could go to some other churches. So there were a couple on the list, but I kept being called back to St. Joe's Fullerton, where our daughter attends school. And so we went and the rest is history. It's been great. So now our 18-year-old, our 9-year-old and myself and Tim, we will all be fully Catholic at the Easter Vigil.
So exciting. Congratulations and welcome home. We're so excited for you. How has your OCIA experience been important to your faith journey? I imagine it's been different for each of you, But maybe you could speak to personally how that's been part of this time.
Yeah, so that's been good. I think, having a guided introduction into the church and a guided entrance into the church has been good. We watched some weekly videos. In the beginning, we watched a lot of videos with Chris Stefanik, who is wonderful, and Tim really liked him. So it's been nice to be able to go through that with a large group, and we're all coming in at different places. So some of us were born Catholic, but not reached all of our, didn't go through confirmation. Some of us are coming in with no faith background at all, so everything is brand new. And then some of us are coming in from the Protestant faith. So it's been really good to have that, and we've met some wonderful people along the way. Some of the people we were talking about, Sharon Ann is a woman that helps out with faith formation. She's been wonderful. She's now going to be my sponsor
So
and
beautiful.
McKinley's godmother. And
Oh.
yeah, so it's been really nice to be able to come in and to have, Deacon Tim leading the team. And yeah, it's been really great.
That's so
It's been
wonderful.
nice to have a structured course. A structured thing to go through.
That's wonderful. It's great to hear that there have been people walking this journey with you. It's not like you're figuring this out on your own, but people in the parish stepping forward, like.
Definitely. Well, definitely. And Father Jesse, he's been fantastic. He's so available. He's so approachable and has helped us navigate a couple of interesting things that have come up along the way. So we're immensely grateful for him. He's been great.
Oh, I love that. What are you most looking forward to as far as becoming a Catholic?
Ooh,
Like, once you're
that's
Catholic,
a good question.
what are you excited about?
So a lot. I feel like I'm coming into an inheritance that I didn't have prior, that I didn't know I was missing. There's like all these treasures of the Catholic Church that I did not know about or have, like for starters, the Eucharist. So I knowing that that is the body and blood of Jesus, and that I have access to that daily if I want, but definitely weekly, is incredible. It's seven additional books of the Bible that I didn't have before.
There you go. Welcome in.
So many things. Yeah, so we're really excited about all the different things, and I had mentioned to you having a relationship with Mary. That's not something I've ever had, and I can feel her guiding hand on all of this. So that's, I just feel like I'm coming into such a rich inheritance and the fullness of the faith that spans 2,000 years to be able to come into a church that Jesus Christ himself founded.
Oh my
I
gosh.
mean, why? How could I ever consider it? Once you know that, how can you consider anything else? Also, something that I think a common answer would be the Eucharist, right? Everyone's, I'm here for the Eucharist.
Bring it
I
on.
think in it for sure, but coming into a family of, it really feels like we're coming into a family, not just of, St. Joe's Fullerton, and the wonderful people there, and not just across the Archdiocese of Baltimore, but a group of Catholics around the world. And the faithfully departed, the saints, all of those things. It really feels like we're coming into a family that is grounded in 2,000 years of history of incredible people who have done incredible things.
So beautiful, and never stop learning more, and there's so much to discover, and how exciting
Oh,
for all of
it's
you.
endless. The depth that my daughter was looking for, I don't think will, and I was looking for as well, I don't think we'll ever reach the bottom. It's impossible. It's so deep and it's so beautiful. I mean, all the different ways you can grow in your faith, the rosary, all these different meditations where you can just deepen your faith. It's only found in the Catholic Church.
So amazing. I know it can be hard to talk about your relationship with God, but I'd love to hear a little bit just how you felt God with you through this time as you've approached Easter.
That's a good question, but coming from our background of non-denominational Christian evangelists, we're very comfortable talking about our relationship with God because we had viewed him definitely with less reverence, more so like he's our buddy. We talk to him all day. We pray to him all day. I've always felt God's hand in my life for sure. So coming from an evangelistic background, we're used to talking to him regularly, but it's feeling Mary's hand in all of this that has been interesting. We felt her guiding hand. Anytime I would start to say, why, I don't feel like going to mass today. It's rainy or it's snowy or, you know, all those things. I would constantly be reminded of the wedding at Cana where she says, do whatever he tells you. And I'm like, okay, I gotcha. I've completely surrendered my power to this. And, so anytime I have felt like, why am I doing this? Is this necessary? I'm always reminded, yes, it's necessary. You surrendered. So you do what he tells you. So, and anytime I've had questions about things, the answers come at me so quickly that it can only be God. For example, on Tuesday night, we were in OCIA and Father Jesse was there and Deacon Tim was there and they were talking a little bit about the rosary. And I said, how do Catholics know about all these different things? I've heard the novena, I've heard the Divine Chaplet. How do we, our Divine Mercy, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
So I've heard about all these different things, but how do we know about them? How do we learn them? And where do we find these resources? And Deacon Tim said, they just find you over when you're ready. Like they find you over time. He said, I learn new things all the time. The next day, we went to our daughter's faith formation class for her, for our 9-year-old who's coming, you know, she had to do certain classes to come into the church as well. And a woman walks up to us. Her name's Angie. I was talking with Sharon Ann, my sponsor and McKinley's godmother. And she just walked up and she said, here, I'm going to give you some things. And in this bag were all these different prayers and the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the things about the novena. I mean, within 24 hours, this
That's
stuff
amazing.
Found me. I mean, sure, it's a wealth of information out there, right? Like,
sure.
We can find anything out. But, I mean, come on. It was not even 24 hours. The answers, if you have a question or reservation about some kind of idea you've had about the Catholic Church, anything we've had reservations about, we can find the answer. We can find the scripture. We can find the history. We can find the reason behind everything that Catholics do.
That's amazing.
Everything about the mass, so God has definitely made it easier. He sent the right people in our lives and given us the tools and resources when we asked for them.
Beautiful.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Laura. I love that. I love thinking about that way that God has walked with you and Mary and all of us are walking with you as you walk toward your entry into the church. Thank you so much for being with us today. Our guests today are some of the many people in the Archdiocese who were joyfully welcomed into full communion with the church this Easter. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. I'm Rita Bittner. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio, and we'll be back in a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Pope Leo XIV called on world leaders, including President Donald Trump by name, to return to peace talks and de-escalate the war in the Middle East. The Pope shared his thoughts March 31st after being asked at a news conference while leaving Castel Gandolfo if he has a message for world leaders, particularly Trump, amid escalating violence in the Middle East. Pope Leo said he heard Trump had recently stated that he would like the war to end. The Pope said, quote, hopefully he's looking for a way to decrease the amount of violence, of bombing, which would be a significant contribution to removing the hatred that's being created and is increasing constantly in the Middle East and elsewhere, unquote. The Pope called on all world leaders to come back to the table to dialogue, to look for solutions to problems and ways of reducing violence. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. And on behalf of everyone here at Catholic Review Media, We wish you and your family a blessed Easter season. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matusek.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner, and we're talking today with two of the more than 1,200 people in the Archdiocese of Baltimore who are welcomed into full communion with the Catholic Church this Easter. If that number sounds high to you, it is. It's more than 65% higher than last year. Archbishop William Laurie told the Catholic Review he believes there's a general trend, especially among young people, who have a desire to belong to something larger than themselves, something that is stable, something that is reliable. We're speaking now with one of those young people to learn more about his perspective and his faith journey. Colton Shoemaker is 19 years old and a parishioner at St. Peter the Apostle in Liberty Town. Colton, welcome to Catholic Review Radio.
Hi.
Colton, why don't you tell us a little bit about your faith background and how you decided to become Catholic?
It's a pretty interesting story. So I met my girlfriend a couple years ago. We're not together anymore. Her whole family was Catholic. Uh-huh. And I was just excited and kind of like, okay, I didn't really know much about it. I didn't grow up Catholic. I was Christian, but I didn't really, I wasn't really involved in anything. Just over time, really, conversations with her about like her faith and then like what I already believed in, and it kind of just lined up. Started going to Mass, and then every couple of weeks we'd go, and then that ended up being like every week. I learned so much about it, about the history, the tradition, about what the Eucharist truly is, and it has all formed me into my decision I've made now. And also, my grandmother and some other family members also go to St. Peter's, so this all worked out great.
I love that. That's so wonderful. Did you run into your grandmother or family members at church before they realized you were going? Like, what was that like for them to find out that you were exploring this?
So I already knew my grandmother went there before. And I don't remember, because sometimes they go to like a different Mass time than we go. But then we would always see them there. We would say hi. Or now I sit with my grandmother. So.
That's so special.
She's my sponsor too, so which makes it a whole lot more special and a whole lot better. And it's awesome.
Oh, I love that. That's so wonderful. Oh, she must be really excited for you. That's terrific. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned you're no longer with your girlfriend, but at some point this became your thing, like your journey. How did that happen for you?
It kind of happened to me when our relationship just wasn't always. It just didn't like seem to work out, young stuff. And then I just would always pray all the time. And I feel like my prayers just made me who I like, what I asked for and what I was able to gain from my prayers just has turned me into what I knew I wanted my future to be.
Wow, that's so powerful. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little more about how you felt like God was with you on this journey, or whether you felt he was guiding or speaking to you. Like, how did that change over time for you?
A lot of it was mostly just, I'd say, not good stuff happening and like struggles happening, and even the good moments. I feel like they were so like intertwined. It was like I would receive the ultimate grace from God, and then sometimes I would be over the moon. I'd be super happy. Everything would be going great, and then struggle would happen. But continuing to just stay in prayer through tough times just kind of helped me through it. And then I realized about summer of last year, a couple months before OCIA started.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there one day, and it just hit me. I was like, you know what, maybe I should look into it. And then with reading and figuring out like how it all worked, I knew it was the next step I needed to do because I was starting to feel stagnant of just going to Mass without actually being able to receive the sacraments.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting to think that you'll be receiving communion and you'll be fully in the church.
I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm excited for you. That's so wonderful. So it sounds like it was maybe a little bit like a gradual progression for you, but also maybe an aha moment there where you thought, I really want to take the next step.
Yeah, it was gradual, but at the same time, like you said, there was just I don't remember the exact day, but there was just like a couple moments where I was just like, I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna sign up for this and I'm gonna go. And then every week of class, of OCIA class, I feel like I've got more and more knowledge and I'm also looking forward to it even more.
Tell us a little bit about those OCIA classes. You seem like you're kind of coming to things on your own, but how did those classes help you move forward, like take it to the next level? How did you feel like that fed you with what you needed?
Really a lot of it was a sense of community with the other group of people I'm with. That helped a lot. Just being able to talk about things with people who have the same goals as you and being able to receive knowledge from really great people who already know a lot and are willing to tell their sides of stuff that maybe I didn't know or give advice on stuff that I might not have known yet.
I wanted to ask you about people you've met along the way. I wasn't thinking of the people in your OCIA class. I was thinking maybe a little bit about your grandmother and others, but how have those people been part of this experience for you? And how do you feel like they've helped your faith? And do you feel like maybe you're helping others as well?
Yeah, definitely. There's so many people, like my grandmother, and the people I met in my OCIA class, it's great to have people to like bounce ideas off of, figure out like things that maybe I was struggling with in faith or and then be able to help them too, like tell them about like I don't know, like when I went through my hard times.
Oh,
And I
yeah.
got through them, or just even my great times too, and just like show them that there is something great you can get out of this, and that we will all ultimately get out of this.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. We're really all in this together, right?
Yes, we are.
It's so beautiful. Making the decision to become a Catholic, it sounds like it was a pretty natural step for you, but are there things about it that were particularly emotional or scary or comforting, or just like, how do you feel in this moment?
So like half of my family is on my mom's side is Catholic, or I mean on my dad's side. On my dad's side, half the family's Catholic, and then on my mom's side, no one is. So from that side, it was kind of like it was just a decision I didn't really like talk too much beforehand with people about. I kind of just did my thing, and then they fully support me. But at first, it just felt like kind of like a scary leap to just. Like for what seemed to them just like something random, but to me it just wasn't.
I could see that. Everyone has a different take on a step you're going to make in your life, and for some of them it might be more obvious, and for others maybe it's a little more surprising. But for you, who have been on the journey, kind of bringing people into that, that sounds like a neat experience to share that with them. Will they be there? I mean, with this show broadcast on Easter, so the Easter Vigil for our listeners is behind them, and but for us today, as it's coming up, are you expecting family to be there to support you?
Yeah, I'll have probably quite a bit of family members there. And hopefully I can maybe plant a seed for them one day if they want to follow in the route I did.
Yeah, we never know, right? St. Peter the Apostle will be packed with people who are cheering you on in some way. What would you say to another person your age or anyone who is considering this step or just wanting to learn more about what this would be like to become Catholic?
Just go to Mass and just talk to people, just like afterwards, talk to the priests and just ask questions. You might just ask questions And there's always an answer. You can always There's always a way to, and conversating with people is way better than just like looking it up online. I feel like that can just send you in multiple different ways. Like having a personal take on things really helps too. And just go and see how you like it.
That's so true. I love that. What great advice. Thank you, Colton, for being with us today, and welcome home to the Catholic Church. Thank you also to Laura Montgomery for joining us as well. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm Rita Bittner. Thanks for listening.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.